turf disease control.
All right. Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Kearns. As I said, my name is Trevor Stacey. I'm a master's student at Purdue University. I've spent the last two plus years, studying the influence of carrier water pH on efficacy of fungicides for turf disease control. So as you all know, turf disease control is one of the utmost important things that a superintendent has to deal with, especially on the East Coast and the Midwest, where environmental conditions are very, very favorable for disease outbreak. So to counter this disease, fungicides are often required and have to be applied on a regular schedule to maintain high-quality golf course turf, which is the expectation that golfers will have. There are going to be many factors that influence fungicide performance, starting with the selection of the proper fungicide at the proper rate and at the proper interval. But I wanted to look to see if the carrier water that's interacting with these fungicides is also an influence in the performance. So the general objective of this research was to investigate the influence of carrier water pH on efficacy of fungicides that are used for the control of dollar spot on creeping bentgrass greens. And to do this specifically, we looked at pH effects on individual fungicides for control of dollar spot in the field, pH effects for the potency of fungicides on a Sclerotinia homeocarpa isolate in an in vitro assay, and then a time interaction if fungicides were let to sit at different pHs for 24 hours and then applied, would that affect efficacy in the field and potency in an in vitro assay? So right now there's very little information that's out that particularly pertains to carrier water pH and fungicide efficacy. A lot of it's anecdotal and a lot of it's fairly broad and vague. For instance, here we have a sentence out of this book that says that turf diseases can decimate a golf course, but pesticides mixed with the right water can prevent the damage. The right water is a very, very broad term. Should we put smart water in the tank, tap water? What's the right water? So water quality has a lot of different components, but I look specifically at the pH. So all field experiments were ran at the Daniel Center in West Lafayette, Indiana. I selected three fungicides, three different active ingredients, iprodione, the product 2,6-GT, which was applied at 4 fluid ounces per 1,000 square feet, active ingredient 5-phenate methyl, product 3336F, which was also applied at 4 fluid ounces per 1,000 square feet, and active ingredient metconazole, product Turney, applied at 0.37 ounces per 1,000 square feet. Selected three different pH levels, pH 5, 7, and 9, so acidic, neutral, and alkaline, and those pH levels were buffered with salts to ensure that when the fungicides were added, that the desired pH level was held constant. So after the fungicides were added, we did test the pH again to ensure that they did stay steady at those levels. We added a reaction time, time 0 and time 24. The time 24 treatments were mixed up the day prior and allowed to sit on a shaker to mimic agitation as if it was in a spray tank on a golf course. All 18 treatments were applied on the same day, and all were again tested for the pH to ensure that it held steady at the desired levels. To make these treatments, we used a custom-built boom sprayer that was calibrated at 1.75 gallons per 1,000 square feet at 40 psi. And as you can see in the top right picture, natural inoculum was plentiful at the Daniel Center, so we did not have to inoculate plots. Diving into some of the chemical characteristics of these fungicides helps to understand what's going on once they're added into the tank. So the very first thing I want to look at is the water solubility of the three fungicides, all very low, which is why when they're added to the tank, we get a suspension rather than a true solution. The next important thing to look at is the aqueous half-life for iprodione, thiophenate methyl, and metconazole, where metconazole from the EPA pesticide fact sheet is listed as stable across all pH ranges. There's a wide range for both iprodione and thiophenate methyl from pH 5 to pH 9 in its aqueous half-life. The two that really jump out is iprodione at pH 9 and thiophenate methyl at pH 9. Iprodione at pH 9 has an aqueous half-life of 0.02 days, which would equate to about 27 minutes. Thiophenate methyl at pH 9 is 0.7 days, so about 17 hours. So that would be cause for concern that iprodione at pH 9, you might have no active ingredient left by the time you completed your spray. However, if you look at the chart at the bottom and the application rate that's used and what that equates to in the tank mix concentration, active ingredients parts per million, for iprodione, it's over 4,000 parts per million. For thiophanate methyl, it's over 8,000 parts per million. And for metconazole, it's just shy of 800. And the very last column is the EC50, which is the effective concentration to suppress 50% of fungal growth, which we did in vitro. And the values we got for each of those, each of the fungicides, is magnitudes smaller than the amount that's actually going into the tank. So if we pull the tank concentration and match that back up with the water solubility, there's only going to be a small portion of the active ingredient at a given time that's actually interacting in the water, that's solubilized in the water. So fungicides were applied one time, and then dollar spot infection centers were counted at the day of application and then every 3 to 4 days thereafter for 28 days. The increase in dollar spot over the time created a disease progress curve, and there were two created for each fungicide, time 0 and time 24. The area underneath these curves was calculated to create an area under the disease progress curve table that was then used for statistical analysis. Again, picture to the left is a check plot from run 2, just to show that we did have adequate disease pressure throughout the entire run. So the aforementioned area under the disease progress curve is listed here with the statistical analysis to go with it. There's a lot of numbers going on here, so kind of we'll try to point out the most important things. The most important thing to me is that pH was not significant for any run for any of the fungicides. For metconazole and thiophanate methyl, pH time and the interaction between pH time were not significant for any of the runs. However, for iperdione, we did have a highly significant interaction between pH and time in run 1, which if you look at R1 and the AUDPC, we have where pH 5 and 7 at time 0 are higher than pH 5 and 7 at time 24, and the inverse of that at pH 9, with pH 9 being extremely high. One explanation I found for that, compared to the other three runs, is we started that experiment with high disease populations with some breakthrough already occurring in the plots, and that 28-day stretch was extremely high dollar spot disease pressure. So that could have led to the breakdown that we saw of the pH 9 at time 24. So here's a picture taken 28 days after application, so the very end of my third run. And as you can see, the majority of this area is decimated by dollar spot. However, spread in there, there's a few plots that actually look pretty good and would be considered acceptable. And actually, all those plots are the exact same fungicide. It's the 3336F that was applied, like I said, 28 days after. This picture is taken 28 days after the application, and this happens to be on Crenshaw creeping bentgrass, which is one of the most susceptible cultivars to dollar spot. And as you can see, pH 5, 7, and 9 at time 0, and pH 5, 7, and 9 at time 24 all are similar and all acceptable compared to the other areas that are on this plot, which were the metconazole and the iperdione, which were equally bad across all pH and time components. And this is particularly interesting because on the 3336F label, it suggests carrier water pH to be 6 to 7. So it goes back to the things that influence fungicide efficacy. The more important things may be selecting the correct product at the correct rate and at the correct time before you look at factors such as the carrier water pH. Because as we see here, pH 9 at T24 is still an acceptable plot with this fungicide. So unfortunately, it does get cold in West Lafayette in the winter, which means have to leave the field and go into the lab and conducted an in vitro assay. So we used potato dextrose auger, omitted with the three fungicides that we used in the field from stock solutions, and we held with the same three pH levels, 5, 7, and 9. The dilution series spanned from 0 parts per million to 10 parts per million, and again, two reaction times were used, time 0 and time 24. The time 24, again, the stock solution was created, allowed to sit on a shaker to mimic agitation as if it was in a spray tank on the golf course. We used a local isolate of Sclerotinia homeocarpa that was found on campus at Purdue. It was transferred to the plates, and the diameter of growth was measured 3 days after, or essentially when the 0 parts per million plate was fully grown out, so that we could measure relative growth, and then from there find the EC50 values. Again, the effective concentration to suppress 50% of fungal growth. So the first thing I want to point out here is where the discriminatory doses for all fungicides. It's right in that 0.1 to 1 parts per million area, which when we contrast that to the rates that we're spraying in the field, we're again several orders of magnitude lower here. The next thing is that in general, on time 24, we do have higher EC50 values, which would suggest that as you let the fungicide sit in all the pHs, that degradation is occurring. And it's more likely that we see this here because we're dealing at much smaller concentrations of active ingredient. We're in the field, we're at such high quantities that any kind of degradation that is happening, the high quantity of active ingredient allows the fungicide to overcome any of those deficiencies. Those deficiencies are more easily seen in the in vitro study, and we get some difference there because of that. So to the results, again, the main takeaway was that there was no significant differences between pH levels for any fungicide for any of the runs in the field. When we went into the in vitro, there were significant differences in the EC50 values among pH levels and time factors for iperdione and time factors for metconazole. Again, that's more to be expected where we start dealing with the much smaller quantity of active ingredient. Any kind of degradation that might be occurring is more likely to show at those small quantities. In almost all cases, the duration of time between mixing and spraying did not impact fungicide efficacy. We did have the instance with the iperdione, which high disease pressures, high populations of disease already there, which I think goes into the explanation of that. So it kind of brings to the point where water pH is not likely to influence the performance of these three fungicides tested in this research. All fungicides that were applied after they were mixed immediately showed no significant differences. And the one instance that we had were in the time 24, we had other weather components that could have increased the disease pressure and possibly led to that that result. Now, I know from my own experience working on the golf course that it's not necessarily common for just a fungicide to be going in the tank when we spray. There are other nutrients or PGRs or what have you that will also go into the tank. So future research, I would like to look at compatibility issues with water pH, maybe a little bit more realistic where we have fungicide at a certain pH with certain nutrients going in to see if there's a compatibility issue that then in turn would potentially affect efficacy in the field. I'd like to acknowledge my major professor, Dr. Latin, committee members, Dr. Patton, and Dr. Wise for steering me in the correct direction, and Jefferson Liu and Brianna Fraley for their help in the field and in the lab. And with that, I'll open it up to any questions.
Got time for a couple questions.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on possible resistance related to pH?
No, did not look at resistance directly related to pH at all. Just was a very kind of direct scope of research. We were just kind of looking at the carrier water and then any kind of potential, I guess, degradation in the tank that then would lead to deficient control.
Any other questions? All right. Thanks.